Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Charles Robinson to the program from Yahoo Sports on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
We're awesome. Thanks for taking time to be with us. We are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, so thankfully we are closing in on this thing. What's the latest scuttlebutt that you've heard on the J.J. McCarthy part of this, and how real do you think it is that the first four picks of this draft, either via trade or just outright, are going to be quarterbacks?
I mean, they got to be quarterbacks at this point, right? At this stage, there's just been so much smoke about the quarterback class, and I think the interesting thing about McCarthy is, the longer we go, the harder it is to find someone who says McCarthy shouldn't be shuttled, you know, to near the top of this class. And I think what's interesting is, I even came in and talked about this. I thought it was ridiculous. Late March, we're talking about McCarthy potentially moving up to the number two pick. And, you know, I wrote a piece about it, all these different things. And almost immediately after I wrote the piece, like within probably 48, 72 hours, I had a few different people in personnel departments hit me up and go, yeah, you know, maybe that really is going to happen. Maybe J.J. McCarthy really is going to be a player that factors into the top two picks in the draft. And even further beyond that, when I started to reach out to different personnel individuals as we did our All Juice team, came across somebody who said, a couple of different individuals. One who said, look, the number two pick in the draft, the Washington Commanders, he's definitely in play potentially at that pick. Like, there's no doubt that there are people in that personnel department that like him enough, like his film enough to take him at number two. And then number three, the Patriots, had another individual who said, you know, hey, look around the quarterback workouts. Their QB stack, now it's early still. We're still talking about early April. But their QB stack could have McCarthy at the very top. Like, not as the third quarterback off the board, not as the second quarterback off the board, but the Patriots may actually like him as the first quarterback coming off the board, which to me is just – I'm shocked by this, but as I reached out and started to hit up different teams and say, like, how is this real? How is this really happening? – More and more individuals were just saying, look, when you really dive into the tape, he's doing NFL things on tape. And he's when he's put into situations where they need a play, they need something to happen, particularly these third and five, third and six situations, third and five plus, third and six plus. He's coming through. He's turning his back on defenses way more consistently than basically every other quarterback at the top of this draft, meaning he takes snaps under center. He does play action. He just does things that when NFL evaluators are watching J.J. McCarthy, they're going, okay, that translates. Like, we know what that looks like on the NFL level versus a number of these quarterbacks that never turn their back on defenses and only take snaps out of shotgun. So, you know, it's been a really long road to get here, but I do think that for their own reasons and for what they translate to the NFL level, all these teams in the top, you know, two, three, four picks are looking at J.J. McCarthy and saying, at 21 years old, projecting it out, this guy deserves to be in consideration for, at the very least, the number two quarterback off the board when we get to the draft in a couple weeks.
Holy crap, Harbaugh's going to be right, and he's going to go number one into the Bears, isn't he? My God, Harbaugh's right about everything.
I swear, I'm like, it's like dragging, like me kicking and screaming, like there's just no way. Like, and it's even gotten to the point where there are like a few evaluators who I really trust, where I'm like, they're not going to lie to me at this stage. Maybe, you know, it'll be some that don't have skin in the game, but others where I'm like, they'll just tell me the truth. And even when I'm like, come on, like just, and they're like, look, you just got to get over it, man. Like, he's, you know, with his age and how he projects against some of these other quarterbacks and just the sheer ability of him to manage and navigate and, you know, execute plays that people see on the NFL level. He's like, he does it really, really well. And by the time this guy's 24 years old, we could be talking about like a quarterback who's 225, his arm's exponentially stronger. Like, that's one of the things too, that I think some of these teams are projecting, is like the things they don't like is that there are certain throws where they're like, man, it's a little flat, it's this, it's that. And they're like, but that's also a player who just turned 21 years old. His arm is going to get stronger over the next couple of seasons. And I'm old enough to remember covering the league and going into New Orleans and having Sean Payton tell me one of the big things that changed for Drew Brees over the early course of his career was his core got a lot stronger and his arm picked up zip as he went. Same with Aaron Rodgers. The Packers said that. They were like, hey, the first couple of years when he sat, his arm was not this strong. It was strong, but wasn't as strong as it was when he developed into, you know, a starter in the, in really the wheelhouse of his career, that some of these guys come into the league and they change their diet. They learn that, hey, it's not, you know, your arm strength comes more from your core than you think, more from your base than you think. And they add zip. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're like, hey, this guy's 25, 26 and has one of the strongest arms in the league. I think that McCarthy is, there are definitely teams that are starting to look at him and saying, by the time he's 25, 26, he's going to have a cannon for an arm, and he's going to have, he's going to be an even better athlete than he is now, and he's going to be a 225-pound quarterback who is physically developed, and a lot of teams are going to be looking back on this draft and going, yeah, you know, maybe he was the best of the class.
Wow, well, you sold me on J.J. My goodness, J.J. McCarthy did. I will say the one knock against him that I never bought was like, you know, Michigan doesn't lean on him or they run on the ball. Okay, I mean, that doesn't change what he is as a player, as a prospect. I mean, again, it's like the old Michael Jordan scored 17 points a game at his peak in college. Great, but what was he? He was that guy, right? So I've never bought that.
Right.
But, man, that's fascinating stuff. Okay, so let's flip it. So you're getting – this is information you trust on J.J. McCarthy. What's the dumbest stuff flying around obviously there's a lot of dumb stuff flying around as
yeah.
we get to this stage of the year. What's the dumbest?
Yeah, I don't, and you know, I'm not going to mention the names of, you know, who's trotted this stuff out, but
oh, come on.
The most recent one about like Caleb Williams, you know, really never faced adversity. he hasn't faced adversity.
I saw that.
I'm like, dude had to win, you know, as a true freshman, went out and won the quarterback job at Oklahoma. Did you watch any of this last season where people are banging on Caleb Williams? But especially when you talk to people looking at the tape, they're like, yeah, there was a reason why he was doing some of what he was doing. A lot of the, you know, out of structure stuff. His team around him was not good. Like he was absolutely carrying.
Lost to Colorado. That's not adversity.
It's funny when we get to this stage because this is what fans should understand, especially the last. I think the last 2 weeks before the draft is when you really start to hear just the stuff where. I mean, you got to roll your eyes at a lot of it. Malik Nabers, that's another thing where we've seen some Malik Nabers stuff come out where it's like, I don't know if he can be a big city. Like, really? You know, he's got an ego. I'm like, well, first of all, he's a wide receiver. Like, all the wide receivers. Like, it's just germane to the position. It really is not a stereotype. Most wide receivers are wired a certain way. Like the vast majority of them, they all think that the quarterback should be throwing the ball to them. They all want to go out in every route and hold their hand up. Like, you know, don't do that. But that's what they all think is, I'm open all the time. Always throw me the ball. It's, you know, Nabers, it's ridiculous at this point to go, well, geez, maybe he won't work out in a big city or, he's got some ego to him. Like it's
so he has to go to Green Bay or nothing else. Like it's the only place he can play. I'm cool with it.
And I'm also like, yeah. Have you ever been to Green Bay? Like literally, it is the epicenter of everything. Like I know people think like, oh, there's nothing else to do in Green Bay. Well, that's part of the problem. Like when you play in Green Bay, you are in the, you know, the fishbowl of all time. Like everyone's looking at every single thing you do and dissecting it every second of your existence there. So there is no such thing as realistically a small city anywhere in the NFL. But again, we get to this last couple of weeks, and I'll give you an example. There's a ton of like lying and I could go out right now and roll out the Rolodex of front office people, you know, whether it's scouts or pro scouts, over-the-top scouts, area scouts, general managers, blah, 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 you know, every position, coaches, whatever. If you want to find someone that will bang a prospect and say something inflammatory, it's not a problem. Like, and that to me is why when something gets reported in the last couple of weeks in the lead up to the draft, that's really a kind of a, like a fly off the handle sort of remark, or someone just saying something where you raise your eyebrows and you're like, really? Like, we're really doing this? I could think of any number of people right now. If I want to find, like, I'm like, all right, let me go to social media and put out 3 super negative comments about Caleb Williams. I know exactly who to call. Okay. I know the guys that don't like him. I know the guys that have problems with, you know, whether it's the painted nails or, you know, he cried with his mom after a loss. I literally had a personal guy say to me, like, was it like the 4th loss of the season? Like, why is he crying at that point? Like, didn't you care before that? Like, I'm like, come on, man. Like you literally could go out. If you are sourced in personnel departments, you can go and find someone who will say the negative thing. And then you can go out there and it'll get traction in social media and people will go, oh, geez. Like, you know, if you're fans at this stage, I really would not pay attention to it, because we're getting bored the last couple of weeks into the process. And then as far as the lying, I had to figure out how to describe this without giving away exactly who it was. The week of the draft last year, I heard a team connected to a player, and I thought in my mind, like, you know, is this BS? You know, what's the deal? So I called the GM, and I was like, is this real? Like, really? And the GM said to me, you know, he's like, look at my history. You know, when in my history have I really, you know, the player that you're describing and all these circumstances, when have I ever taken a player like that? And I thought, oh, okay, he's not playing. And he totally took that player. And, you know, and then later I'm like, you know, after the draft, I'm like, what the hell? Like, what's going on, man? Like, that felt like a lie to me. He's like, well, first off, I didn't answer the question. I asked you a question. and then he made a point that was true. He was like, look, if your friend's sitting at a poker table and he's in the middle of a hand and you ask him in front of everybody, hey, do you have a flush? Your friend doesn't answer and he's holding a flush. What do you expect out of him? Like, what do you, you know, if you come, so he said, don't ask about specific players, because most teams are going to lie to you when it comes to a specific player, especially when there's interest there. You know, and just expect it. It's not our fault. We have to lie to you guys or mislead you when you're asking about specific scenarios in the middle of a poker hand. We can't let people know what exactly we're looking at. So just as fans, get over it. The last couple of weeks, don't believe most of the stuff that you hear, even the week leading into it, and let the reality show play out the way it's going to play out, because I guarantee you this one is really, really going to surprise you, and I guarantee you're going to hear, you know, some negative stuff as we go. Like, I was reading last week that, like, Brock Bowers isn't as good as people think. I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. Well, I guess Brock Bowers isn't good either. Caleb Williams is, you know, he's terrible. Malik Nabers can't go to any big cities.
Got a lot of issues in this draft.
Apparently so.
Let's call the draft off at this point. Like, right? Let's take draft day and talk about, you know, soda versus Coke versus pop.
Nice.
It is pop, by the way.
Oh, boy. Charles Robinson.
Where we grew up. I mean, yeah, where we grew up is pop.
Charles Robinson with us here on the program. Charles, on the Rashee Rice front, now he faces 8 charges, including an aggravated assault charge stemming from the incident a couple of weeks ago down there in Dallas. Where do you think this goes from here with him in terms of not only the charges, but also how this could affect the Chiefs this season in the league as well?
Well, it's funny. I was talking to someone. It's not funny. I was talking to someone from the union, and we were kind of having a conversation about, like, where could this potentially go for him? Obviously, as you said, there's you know, 8 counts now in the charge for him. We're talking about felonies, very, very serious. You know, when it comes to civil litigation, there are going to be settlements. I mean, this is going to work. Talking about quite a bit of money that I think is going to ultimately you know, come out of his pocket as he settles with the number of victims that were involved in this crash. But this person from the union said to me, like, hey, we could be looking at a really significant suspension from the NFL. And they're definitely, I think, getting the vibe from the league office. I don't know if it has to do with, you know, Jalen Carter and the car crash prior to him joining the NFL, that alleged drag racing crash that ended in deaths at the University of Georgia, versus Henry Ruggs, obviously. A woman and a dog lost their life when Henry Ruggs was involved in the crash in Las Vegas. I think the league is like, okay, we're kind of getting to the point now where a message has got to be sent here. And this isn't, you know, it's not going to result in the sort of like prison sentence that Henry Ruggs dealt with, obviously, because there were no deaths. But the union clearly feels that there is a chance that the NFL levies a really significant suspension in the Rashee Rice case. The dash cam video looks horrible. Yes, he's taking responsibility in the element of putting himself behind the wheel, which you can argue there's enough video from the scene that it might have been hard for him not to take that responsibility in the accident. But it's you can definitely tell that the parties involved are walking on eggshells when it comes to, hey, this isn't going, you know, one game or a two game suspension for Rashee Rice based on the outcome of this entire, you know, investigation and where it goes legally. It could be far more significant than that. And I definitely think, again, not to turn it into football because it feels weird. We're talking about something that is definitely the expanse of it goes beyond football, but if you're the Chiefs, you have to invest in the wide receiver position. There's a deeper issue of having to sit down with Rashee Rice and say, like, you know, given your actions now, you're taking responsibility in the wake of this. But, like, do you really understand what just happened here and how the absolute best case scenario of someone not dying in this incident played out? But, you know, you need to know where this has gone and how your career now has the trajectory of your career has potentially been changed. If you're a Chiefs fan right now, you need to know that the league is probably taking this a level of seriousness, despite no death being involved. They're looking at it like, hey, this was a dodged bullet, but we're not going to treat it like, you know, hey, because nobody died, we're not going to take this serious and there's not going to be a significant suspension. Like again, this is coming from the union, but the union definitely thinks that the league could step on this pretty hard and there could be a much more serious suspension than people expect.
We have a question, Charles, back on the draft. Oh my gosh, did I lose it? Tackle, offensive tackle. That's mostly what we're talking about here in Nashville. You know, the Titans, Joe Alt. Does Jim Harbaugh keep talking about offensive linemen because he just loves offensive linemen so much, or because he's lying, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But like Saints, Jets, those are a couple teams. Alden is asking, what do you think the possibility is that maybe one of those teams might want to move in front of the Titans to get a tackle? And all these are obviously different ways that they could not get Joe Alt.
Sure, right. The talking about the potential to lose out on. I think that there's, when you look at not just the Jets, by the way, I think every team is interested in offensive line depth. Every team is interested in getting a quality tackle. I think the one thing that you have to think about is what's the cost, you know, ultimately to move up to let's say it's 4 or 5 or 6. Right now I feel like the Giants want to, you know, stand pat. There's a lot of people connecting quarterbacks to them. I'd be surprised if that's what they addressed ultimately at 6. I think there's a chance they address it later. It feels like the Giants are not the move team. The two teams that I think you have to stare at are the Arizona Cardinals and the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't think either of those teams is moving out. I don't think anyone's trying to move to 4 or 5 other than to get a quarterback. And I do think there's an element of sort of waiting and seeing where this goes as we get closer. But in terms of the teams that could potentially move up to get that tackle, yeah, I think the Jets, I think, man, I, it's hard to look at the board and not see a team that's interested in moving to get an offensive tackle. But again, being at seven, I think you're in a good spot only because four and five are really looked at as quarterback spots, and the premium to move up to those positions is astronomical. It's very much like a quarterback price tag to move into those spots. So, like, for example, the price that stacks up for Minnesota to move up to five, it's, you know, the two first-round picks plus. Or to move up to Arizona, it's the two first-round picks plus. Well, that plus is going to be another first-rounder, probably, if it's just Minnesota, two first-round picks in 2024, another first-round pick in 2025, and then potentially more draft compensation on top of that. I don't know that any team out there is sitting there going, yeah, let's spend three first-round picks plus to get in front of the Tennessee Titans to draft an offensive tackle. Anybody who's spending right now to move into the four or five spot, or, you know, further up, I guess, if you think the, you know, the Patriots really are capable of trading, or even Washington, they're all spending, at least from what the price tag is, three first round picks plus. I don't think anybody's doing that with the tackles, particularly in a draft where, as good as Joe Alt is, it's a deep, you know, offensive line class. It's a deep offensive tackle class. And I think people think they could address it further on down, and not to knock Alt at all. It's, you know, I don't think anybody's going, that's Jonathan Ogden. Okay. That's right. If you're giving up three first round picks for an offensive tackle, you're talking about a perennial every year, all pro player out of the gate, you know, where, and I don't think anybody is looking at the offensive tackle class at this stage. Like the very top are, you know, they're transcendent offensive tackles that we don't see other than every 10 or 15 or 20 years. They're not those types. So if there's moves, the cost is a quarterback cost, and no team is paying a quarterback cost, I don't think, at this stage to move up beyond seven.
Well, Charles, really good stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us, and 2 weeks away from the draft, we're getting there. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, what I forgot. What do we settle on? Now, is it pop or is it? I mean, I live in Texas, so I get to.
Do you say pop down there?
Well, they say soda and the Coke. Like, it depends. Like, there's different.
What do you do?
Sort of like, how were you raised and where were you raised? I mean, I come up. You know, come on, man. We're from Michigan. I say pop, and I think it was like the first week or two I was down here, I did say pop. And someone said to me, it was a girl, she said, oh, you're a Yankee. And I was like, what? And I was like, I'm still doing that? I was like, 160 years? Are we going back to that again? Are we still addressing old grievances? Yeah, even Texas. We're addressing old grievances. Like, I didn't realize that that pop versus soda versus Coke was going to take me back to that era of our country.
It's a very divisive topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just keep saying pop.
It is divisive. Dawn has family. Her brother married into a family that calls it Coke. And I'm just like, why would you? It's so weird to call everything Coke. Like, it doesn't make sense.
I'll have a Coke, a root beer. What?
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a while to unravel, like, what that meant. Like, everything that you travel in is a car. Well, what kind of a car? Well, a motorcycle. Okay. All right.
That's good stuff.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Charles.
See ya, man.
Have a good one.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on the Titans and the NFL draft. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.